The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Pataka Swami on November 2nd, 1986 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class occurred on Govardhan Puja and it was a reading from the Krishna book, chapter 24.
Govardhan Puja Mahotsav ki Gopremanmi.
Hare Krishna. We'd like to welcome everyone tonight for our Sunday Feast program. So tonight we're celebrating. This is called the Govardhan Puja or Anakuta. And by Krishna's transcendental arrangement, we have tonight with us His Divine Grace, Srila Jayapataka Swami Acharyapad, to enlighten us about the glories of Lord Shri Krishna. Srila Acharyapad is just coming from traveling in South America, where he has many temples, where he's doing so much preaching. And very soon we'll be going back to India. So we're very thankful to have his association tonight. We thank all of you for coming to help in the celebration of the Govardhan Puja. Hari Bol.
Om Ajnana Timanindasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chakshushuna Militanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunnavadhi Paschatya Deshitarini Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Haro Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Bhagakaroti vacha lang pangulanga yate giring. Yakripahata mahang bande sigurum. Dinatarinang paramananta madhavam. So, yesterday we had Rath Yatra and Diwali. Today we also have offering of lights at the end. We'll have more Diwali today, but today is another special festival as well, which is known as Govardhan Puja. In Vrindavan in India, the place of Krishna's pastimes, His birth in Mathura district, in Vrindavan there is a sacred hill known as Govardhan. And on this day, hundreds of thousands of people walk around the Govardhan hill chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Radha Govinda, and other mantras. So, today we're also going to have Govardhan Puja. After this lecture there'll be a drama and a Govardhan Puja. The Govardhan Hill will be made out of the sacred prasadam foodstuff. So after we worship Govardhan, then we're going to eat it also. So, this is a very interesting pastime, and there's many lessons to be learned from it. When Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descended on this earth over 5,000 years ago, He was soon after His birth, it's the day of His birth, He was shifted to a little village. And He was brought up by cowherd men in the village of Vrindavan or Nandagram. And these cowherd, Krishna was doing always various type of miracles. But somehow, due to Krishna's mystic opulence, no one was considering Krishna to be, they just were loving Krishna as He was. They weren't considering His unlimited power. But something happened in this pastime which was exceptional. That Krishna is actually being the Supreme Person, the Supreme Lord, so He's in charge of all the universes. So in every universe, there's the head of the administration in the higher planets. His name is Indra. And in this universe, when Krishna was present, Indra has become a little bit proud. So Krishna wanted to cut him down to size a little bit. But the way he did that is that it was an annual function that the cowherd men would worship this demigod Indra in order to get rain. Because Indra was also responsible as the controller of the rain. So out of gratitude for the rain, they would worship Lord Indra. So this was an annual function of worshiping Indradev. So, in fact, Krishna was asking, why are you doing this? What puja are you doing? And what is the actual purpose of it? He's only a six-year-old boy at that time, six, 7 years old. So Maharaj Nanda replied, this is from the Krishna book by Srila Prabhupada, "My dear boy, this ceremonial performance is more or less traditional. Because rainfall is due to the mercy of King Indra and the clouds are his representatives, and because water is so important for our living, we must show some gratitude to the controller of this rainfall, Maharaj Indra. We are arranging therefore to pacify King Indra because he has very kindly sent us clouds to pour down sufficient quantity of rain for successful agricultural activity. Water is very important. Without rainfall, we cannot farm or produce grains. We cannot live if there is no rainfall. It is necessary for successful religious ceremonies, economic development, and ultimately liberation. Therefore, we should not give up the traditional ceremonial function. If one gives it up being influenced by lust or greed or fear, then it does not look very good for him." So when Krishna heard this, he spoke in such a way to make Lord Indra angry. He understood that what is the actual purpose, but he presented the matter in such a way that Indra would become angry, just to show him a lesson. So he suggested to the cowherd man to forgo the sacrifice. He gave two reasons. One is that there's no need to worship demigods for any material advancement because whatever demigods provide are simply temporary. This also explained the Krishna book is a synopsis of the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. So in the Bhagavatam, Krishna says, "Karmana jayate jantu karmanaiva praliyate sukham dukham vayam kshemam karmanaiva vipadyate." Lord Krishna said, "It is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth, and it is by karma alone that he meets his destruction. His happiness, distress, fear, and sense of security all arise as the effects of karma. Even if there is some supreme controller who awards all others the results of their activities, he must also depend upon a performer's engaging in activity. After all, there is no question of being the bestower of fruitive results unless fruitive activities have actually been performed." In this way, he's presenting a whole philosophy which is actually a little bit distorted. It's presented in this way in order to get Indra angry. Krishna went on to say, "Living beings in this world are forced to experience the consequences of their own particular previous work. Since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which is born of their own nature, why should people worship him? Every individual is under the control of his own conditioned nature, and thus he must follow that nature. This entire universe with all its demigods, demons, and human beings is based on the conditioned nature of all living entities." So, in other words, he is presenting that karma, the karma-mimamsa theory, that simply by hard work we can get whatever we want. And actually, that is basically a kind of an atheistic philosophy, because this is explained by Srila Prabhupada, that Krishna began to talk as if he were an atheist, supporting the philosophy of karma mimamsa. Advocates of this type of philosophy do not accept the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. They put forward the argument that if anyone works nicely, the result is sure to come. Their opinion is that even if there is a God who gives man the result of his fruitive activities, there's no need to worship him, because unless man works, he cannot bestow any good result. They say that instead of worshipping a demigod or God, people should give attention to their own duties, and thus good result will surely come. So Lord Krishna began to speak to his father according to the principles of the karma mimamsa philosophy. So actually everyone is supposed to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the ultimate principle. That is our eternal duty, is to serve the Lord. And this karma mimamsa philosophy completely negates that idea. It just says, well, even if there's a God, he's dependent upon our karma, whatever we do, our activities. So therefore, we don't have to do any worship, because he's going to give us whatever we deserve anyway. So the elderly men, they didn't accept this. They started to argue. They said that, well, sometimes there's first-class medical help and first-class physician are present, still a diseased man dies. So therefore, just having a good material arrangement is not enough. There must be some other higher powers whose blessing is needed. Even if father and mother try to take care of a child, doesn't mean the child will be comfortable. Sometimes the children go bad, or even they succumb to death, in spite of having all kind of good care. So therefore, Ananda Maharaj said, therefore, to get good results, we should satisfy Indra, the superintending deity of the rain. This was their response. But little Krishna, only 7 years old, he said, he again nullified this argument, saying, the demigods only give the results to those who have executed prescribed duties. Therefore, demigods are dependent upon the execution of duties and not absolute in awarding good results to anyone. He said, my dear father, there's no need to worship the demigod Indra. Everyone has to achieve the result of his own work. So in this way, Krishna somehow by his he convinced him not to worship Indra. Actually, the philosophy he was presenting, normally Krishna only presents the absolute truth, but he was presenting this particular philosophy very vocally, knowing it would get Indra very angry. Oh, so you're going to stop my worship. Well, I'm going to show you a lesson, and he's going to do something. But actually, Indra was being disrespectful to Krishna. Krishna wanted to show that Indra had become a little bit proud. So then Indra asked, what is it that you want? What kind of puja do you want us to do? And then Krishna told them, prepare very nice foodstuffs of all descriptions from the grains and ghee collected for the yajna. Prepare rice, dal, then halva, pakora, puri, and all kinds of milk preparations like sweet rice, sweet balls, sandesh, rasgulla, and ladu. And invite the learned brahmanas who chant the Vedic hymns and offer oblations to the fire. The brahmanas should be given all kinds of grains in charity, then decorate all the cows and feed them well. After performing this, give money in charity to the brahmanas. As far as the lower animals are concerned, such as the dogs and lower grades of people, such as chandalas, they may also be given sumptuous prasadam. After giving nice grasses to the cows, the sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja may immediately begin. This sacrifice will very much satisfy me. So, actually this Prabhupada explained that this and it describes the whole economy of the Vaishya community. That Vaishyas are considered the stomach of the human society. They provide the basis for the whole society. So Prabhupada explains that the Vaishya community is specifically responsible for economic improvement of the society by producing grains, by giving protection to the cows, by transporting food when needed, and by banking and finance. Note how even the cows and the dogs were to be fed, not to be neglected. Everything has its importance in the human society. So when Krishna consciousness is there, then everyone's total benefit is taken care of. So Prabhupada also mentions the sacrifice known as Govardhana Puja is observed in the Krishna conscious movement. Lord Chaitanya has recommended that since Krishna is worshipable, so his land, Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill are also worshipable. To confirm this statement, Lord Krishna said that Govardhan Puja is as good as worship of him. From that day, the Govardhan Puja has still been going on and is known as Anakuta. In all the temples of Vrindavan or outside Vrindavan, huge quantities of food are prepared in this ceremony and very sumptuously distributed to the general population. Sometimes the food is thrown to the crowds and they enjoy collecting it off the ground. From these instances we can understand that prasadam offered to Krishna never becomes polluted or contaminated, even if it is thrown on the ground. The people therefore collect it and eat with great satisfaction. So this, in Mayapur, we have this Govardhan Puja, and there we make an anakut or a hill, a mountain of rice that goes about 6 feet high. It's several tons of rice, and up to 25,000 people come to take prasad. But they eat rice. And the rice we decorate with various rice. We put all kinds of sweets on it, pakuras, puris, little cows, and Krishna on the top. Then we go around with a cow like that. So here they're going to have some puja like that, but we don't know what the hill will be made of yet. That we have to see. They've kept it secret, top secret here. So Krishna told all the cowherd men, stop Indra Puja, no more Indra Yagya, begin Govardhan Puja in order to chastise Indra, because Indra had become very puffed up, being the supreme controller of the upper planetary systems. According to the Vedas, describes that there is life on every planet, that there's life in every part of the universe. But life, Indra lives basically in another dimension. These big controllers on other planets, they have a different type of body than we have. Their metabolism is far different, and it's on a much higher level, you can say almost like a different dimension. But even on every planet, there's some form of life. But normally our modern scientists, they're just looking in a very kind of tunnel vision way to see if there are the similar symptoms of life system that we know here on this planet. But just to prove how their idea that you need oxygen and carbon dioxide and so on to support life is wrong. Recently, within the past 12 months or a couple of years, I think very recently actually, they've just discovered that in one part of the world, in the depths of the ocean, there's some volcanic eruptions going on. And regularly, some form of ammonia gas or some type of volcanic gas, which has not the slightest bit of oxygen or anything in it, is highly poisonous. If any normal aquatic or land animal were to come in contact with that gas, they would be immediately killed. It's highly poisonous. But they found that surrounding the aperture where that gas is coming, there is a whole variety of fauna and flora different types of animals and plants which have grown up. These animals and plants grow by breathing in this poisonous gas. If you put them in oxygen, they die. Or in the water, they have to have that gas. They are simply growing and living from that gas. And their whole metabolism is based totally different than any other creature on this planet. It's simply based on breathing in this type of gas. Just as we breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide, they're breathing in this poisonous gas and breathing out something else. And of course, as usual, they're totally bewildered and don't know what to think of it. But this is the point. We may not find any oxygen in Venus. That doesn't mean there's not life on Venus. They can breathe anything there. If there's an atmosphere, they can breathe it. If there's no atmosphere, they can be on another higher dimension that doesn't require atmosphere to live all, even. There's atmosphere in the way that we know. It's totally beyond the limitations that we normally try to fit in life. So the descriptions are that in every planet, every object you look in the sky, there's some form of life or other. But some may be intelligent, some may be undeveloped, some various types of life form are there. 8,400,000 species of life can be found in the universe. So Indra is one of those species. He's the top of the demigods. So he's very powerful. He doesn't have to even be visible if he doesn't want to the human beings. So they've stopped this Indra puja. And instead they began Govardhan puja and circumambulated, went around the Govardhan hill according to Krishna's instruction. They started to worship the Govardhan hill by calling the brahmanas and chanting Vedic hymns and offering prasadam. They decorated their cows and gave them grass. Keeping the cows in the front, they began to circumambulate Govardhan hill. All the gopis, the cowherd girls, were dressed very beautifully at that time. The brahmanas were giving their blessings to the cowherd men and their wives. When everything was complete, then Krishna assumed a great transcendental form and declared that he himself was Govardhan hill, in order to convince the devotees that Govardhan hill and Krishna himself are identical. Then Krishna began to eat the food that was offered there. And all of the... The form of Krishna who began to eat the offerings was separately constituted from the little boy Krishna. So Krishna expanded himself, made a huge form, and then that form of Krishna started to eat the offering. Little baby Krishna, then he said, just see how Govardhan hill has assumed this huge form and is favoring us by accepting all the offerings. One who neglects the worship of Govardhan puja as I am personally conducting it will not be happy. There are many snakes on Govardhan hill, and persons neglecting the prescribed duty of Govardhan puja will be bitten by these snakes. So in order to assure the good fortune of the cows and themselves, all the people of Vrindavan near Govardhan must worship the hill as prescribed by me. So after performing Govardhan puja, everyone went home. So when Indra understood that the sacrifice of Govardhan, of himself, was stopped by Krishna, he became angry, and so he decided to cause great suffering to the people of Vrindavan. So then he called a special cloud, which is known as a Samvartaka, and it could give immense rain in inundating the entire area. So he ordered that cloud. He's got a whole army of clouds. So some of these clouds have got actually a personality behind them. So ordered them to go and to inundate the whole area with extensive flood. He said, just see the impudence of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They are simply inhabitants of the forest, being infatuated with their friend Krishna, who is nothing but an ordinary human being. They have dared to defy the demigods. So then he sent rain clouds to go So when the huge rain was coming, everyone came to Krishna and said, "Dear Krishna, you are all powerful and you are very affectionate to your devotees. Please protect us who have been much harassed by angry Indra." So then Krishna, understanding that Indra was angry because he wasn't getting his sacrificial honor, so he was pouring down. So then Krishna concluded, "This demigod thinks himself supreme, has shown his great power, but I shall answer him according to my position, and I shall teach him that he is not autonomous in managing universal affairs. I am the supreme lord over all, and I shall thus take away his false prestige, which has risen from his power. The demigods are my devotees, and therefore it is not possible for them to forget my supremacy. But somehow or other he has become puffed up with material power, and thus is now maddened. I shall act in such a way to relieve him of his false prestige. I shall give protection to my pure devotees in Vrindavana, who are at present completely at my mercy, and with whom I have taken completely under my protection. I shall save them by my mystic power." So then Krishna, thinking in this way, he immediately picked up the Govardhan hill with one hand. Just as a child picks up a mushroom from the ground, Govardhan hill is about 21 kilometers long by 6 kilometers wide. It's quite big. It's not just a little hill, it's a pretty big hill. So then Krishna said to his devotees, "My dear brothers, my dear father, my dear inhabitants of Vrindavan, you can now safely enter under the umbrella of Govardhan hill, which I have just lifted. Do not be afraid of the hill and think it will fall from my hand. You have been too much afflicted from the heavy rain and strong wind. Therefore I have lifted this hill, which will protect you exactly like a huge umbrella. I think this is a proper arrangement to relieve you from your immediate distress. Be happy along with your animals underneath this great umbrella." So being reassured by Krishna, all of the animals and property and the people of Vrindavan, they all went under the hill. So they remained there for 1 week, but not anyone felt any hunger, nor did they feel any kind of discomfort. They were simply astonished to see that how little Krishna, 7 years old, is holding up the entire mountain on the little finger of his left hand. In fact, even Indra, the king of heaven, was thunderstruck and baffled to see the mystic power of Krishna. After seeing that he's holding it up for 1 week, just with one little finger, he called for all the clouds and he asked them to stop. There's a picture of Krishna holding up the Govardhan hill. So, after the rain stopped, then all the men loaded their valuables on carts and slowly left with their cows and all of the paraphernalia. After they had cleared out everything, Krishna very slowly replaced Govardhan hill exactly in the same position as it had been before. When everything was done, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan approached Krishna and embraced him with great ecstasy. There was beating of drums. So, after this happened, and the cowherd men, they all approached Nanda Maharaj and said, "Listen, you keep telling us your boy is just some ordinary boy. But after this, we have a few doubts." I mean, all right, when he was a little baby and this witch Putana came, he sucked her breast and took her life out, and she assumed this huge form. And when he was just a little small boy, he was tied up by the rope, and then he lifted this huge stone mortar, was dragging along, pulled two trees down, and two demigods came out, the son of Kuvera. All right, we could understand these might have been by accident. But this one, we were 7 days of watching him holding up the entire hill. Now do you want to tell us that your boy is simply an ordinary boy? We think that there's something special about this Krishna. Now could you kindly explain to us who your son is? So then, at that time, and hearing the praises of the cowherd men in Vrindavan, King Inanda said, "My dear friends, in reply to you, I can simply present the statement of Garga Muni so that your doubts may be cleared. When he came to perform the name-giving ceremony," that's at the time about 9 days after birth, He said that this boy descends in different yugas or periods of time in different colors, and that this time he has appeared in Vrindavan in a dark color and is known as Krishna. Previously he was white color, then red color, then yellow color. He also said that this boy was once the son of Vasudeva, and everyone who knows of his previous birth calls him Vasudeva. Actually, he said that my son has many varieties of names according to his different qualities and activities. Gargamuni assured me that this boy will be all auspicious for my family and that he will be able to give transcendental blissful pleasure to all the cowherd men and cows in Vrindavan. He also said that any fortunate man who becomes attached to this boy Krishna is never vanquished or defeated by his enemy. On the whole, he is exactly like Lord Vishnu, who always takes the side of the demigods and who are consequently never defeated by the demons. Garga Acharya, the astrologer, concluded that my child will grow to be exactly like Vishnu in transcendental beauty, qualification, activities, influence, and opulence. According to the version of Garga Acharya, I consider that he must be Narayana himself, or maybe a plenary portion of Narayana. When all the cowherd men very attentively heard the statements of Gargacharya through Nanda Maharaj, they better appreciated the wonderful activities of Krishna and became very jubilant and satisfied. They began to praise Nanda Maharaj because by consulting him their doubts about Krishna were cleared. They said, "Let Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us." So they're very happy that when Indra sent this rain, then Krishna, he just lifted it up. Just like a little mushroom, and protected all the residents of Vrindavan. Actually, Krishna, if the Supreme Person, normally the Supreme Person is worshipped as Narayana, which is his formal majestic form. Prabhupada explained that something like worshipping the form of Krishna is the very informal form, and the form of Narayana is the formal form of God. Explained just like a justice in the high court or supreme court. When you go in that court, everyone stands up, you say, "My Lord, Your Honor." They speak with great formality. But the same judge, when he's in his house, then his family members treat him just like a loved one very intimately. So when Krishna is in his formal pose, he is called Narayana. And when he is informally playing with his devotees, then he is known as Krishna. So Krishna is the original form. Narayana is the formal form. But normally everyone, just like you say, the Chief Justice. Chief Justice is not his original form. His original form is a human being, he's a person, his wife, kid, but everyone knows him, he's the Chief Justice. So they always relate like that. But actually, if you meet him in his house, it's different. You meet the real person. So everyone knows Krishna as Narayana. They say Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu or Narayana. But actually, Narayana or Vishnu is the formal. And Krishna is the actual person behind the official position. He is the original Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. But that is very esoteric. Only not everyone can understand this aspect. Just as if you try to tell people about the personal life of great people, they just like to see, "Oh, he's a big person, and that's all I want to know." So this is the personal life of Krishna. So later, Indra came, and actually Indra went to Lord Brahma and find out, "What should I do? Why, what happened?" Well, the cowherd men in Vrindavan, they stopped worshipping me, and so I just had a little rain over there. But then, you know, Krishna was there and he lifted up the whole hill, and actually, I think Krishna is angry at me. So what should I do? Brahma said, "You fool, you know, why did you do that? Immediately go to Krishna and you beg for forgiveness. Immediately you go there and you beg for forgiveness." And he told him to take with him a Surabhi cow that happened to be visiting. So then Indra went to see Krishna. And when no one was around, He fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna. And although he knew that Krishna was his Lord, but he just couldn't believe that Krishna is coming down, just living with ordinary humans, what he appeared to him as ordinary human beings is a cowherd boy. That original Krishna, the same Narayan and the Supreme Lord, that suddenly he's come down on this planet and he's just playing with human beings, like one of them. It didn't register with Indra. He couldn't believe it. But then after he saw what Krishna was doing, and after Brahma told him, yes, that's Krishna, he came down to the earth and he's there, the Supreme Lord, from the spiritual world, he's down there on earth playing in Vrindavan, and you just flooded his whole Vrindavan. That Krishna, yes. So then Indra, he came down and he said, my dear Lord, being puffed up by my false prestige, I thought that you had offended me by not allowing the cowherd men to perform the Indra Yajna. And I thought that you wanted to enjoy the offerings that were arranged for the sacrifice. I thought that in the name of a Govardhan sacrifice, you were taking my share of profit, and therefore I mistook your position. Now by your grace, I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, and that you are transcendental to all material qualities. Your transcendental position is Visuddha Sattvam, which is above the platform of the material mode of goodness, and your transcendental abode is beyond the disturbance of the material qualities. Your name, fame, form, quality, and pastimes are all beyond this material nature. And they are never disturbed by the three material modes. Your abode is accessible only for one who undergoes severe penances and austerities and who is completely freed from the very existence of this earth. If someone thinks that when you come in within this material world, you accept the modes of material nature, he is mistaken. The webs of the material qualities are never able to touch you, and you certainly do not accept them when you are present within this world. Your lordship is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. My dear Lord, you are the original father of this cosmic manifestation. You are the supreme spiritual master of this cosmic world. And you are the original proprietor of everything. As eternal time, you are competent to chastise offenders. You are so merciful that without punishing their offenses, you devise means so that their false prestige is subdued and they can know you and none else, that you and none else are the supreme personality of Godhead. So in this way, he went on offering many prayers. Said, I committed a great offense under your lotus feet. Please excuse me because I am fool number one. Kindly give me your blessings that I may not act so foolishly again. He said, even if you think that I have committed too great offense and I can't be forgiven, then kindly I am your eternal servant. So kindly, as your servant, excuse me. And he goes on, offers many, many prayers to Krishna. Then Krishna smilingly, beautifully said, my dear Indra, I have stopped your sacrifice just to show my causeless mercy and to revive your memory that I am your eternal master. I am not only your master, but I am the master of all the other demigods as well. You should always remember that all your material opulences are due to my mercy. Everyone should always remember that I am the Supreme Lord. I can show anyone my favor and I can chastise anyone because no one is superior to me. If I find someone overpowered by false pride, in order to show him my causeless mercy, I withdraw all his opulences. So, although someone may work and have all type of good karma, but if Krishna wants to, he can withhold that person's results. And if Krishna wants to, he can give someone results even if they have no karma. If he wants to. So ultimately, Krishna is known as Swarad, independent. So someone can get all kind of benedictions from Krishna, but because Krishna has something far greater to give than material benedictions, normally the great sages and devotees, they don't go to Krishna just to ask for material things. Although, If you want to ask Krishna for a material thing, he can also give it. He's also can order the necessary demigod or anyone to just give it. Him directly he can give if he wants. Of course, he's always independent. But Krishna can give something even greater than liberation. Krishna is the only one who can give pure devotion or love of God. That is his special benediction. Only Vishnu can give liberation. Even Shiva cannot give liberation to the spiritual world. But Krishna, in his form as Vishnu, can give liberation. Krishna can give liberation. But only Krishna in his form of Krishna can give pure love to himself. This pure love of Krishna is something which is even better than liberation. Because if you're a pure lover of Krishna, automatically you get liberation. It's like the difference between someone getting a visa to America. You may get a visa to come to America. That's like getting liberation in a gross kind of example. But that doesn't mean it's but if you're actually living in America and having association with the President of the United States or having an intimate association with the controllers that be, with all the powers that be, is different. So there's a difference there. So in the spiritual world, just to be admitted into the spiritual world, that's liberation. But to actually have association with Krishna or to have pure love of Krishna and to be accepted as one of his own eternal associates and devotees in a completely loving way, that is something which is even more special. So that adoption by Krishna is only performed by Krishna. It's very crude examples, but I just give some kind of it. So, since we're going to have dramas and pujas, I don't want to belabor. These are all very interesting. Of course, sometimes people consider that, well, this is very nice mythology. And in the Krishna conscious movement, we take these histories of Krishna not to be mythology, but to be actual accounts of what happened. That Krishna is said to have lifted up an entire mountain which is so large. We don't find it at all wonderful. Because he's lifting up all the unlimited planets, what's the difficulty if he lifts up a mountain? And if somebody finds it very wonderful, how can God himself, the Supreme Lord, come down on this planet? We don't find that very wonderful also, because being the Supreme Lord, if he wants to come down, why can't he? Who's going to stop him? But rather it is wonderful how he comes down and he associates with his devotees in such an intimate way. He comes down and he brings with him many associates from the spiritual world, and he picks up the devotees that were here in the material world, and they all come and take birth in the Vrindavan to join his pastime. When he leaves, he takes them all with him. And this way he also shows the people of this world that you want to know what God is like. He's not some old man sitting in the chair in the top with a big beard. He's eternally youthful and he's enjoying himself with his friends, having all kinds of loving pastimes. So why don't you come and join him and engage in loving devotion to him? Because that's actually what we're all hankering for, is to have eternally a good time. And there's no better time than that times which are spent with Krishna. Those are the best times. In this way, if someone actually gives an objective study of Krishna and his devotees and how lovingly they pass their time, we can find that the sweetest and most beautiful relationships were manifested or exhibited at that time. The love that we're hankering, we can actually find in relationship to Krishna. His purpose of coming to the world is to show the people how life is in the spiritual world, where there's no competition Of course, he's disturbed here in the material world. Anyone in the material world is always disturbed by different types of antagonistic elements. So then Krishna, he has to settle up these disturbances. Just like there's no interest in the spiritual world to rain down and cause flooding and things. But there's a Govardhan puja and so on, without the disturbances. So Krishna enjoys coming down into the material world and reclaiming the fallen souls and showing his pastime. For him it's like going out for a picnic or something. Come here, let's go to the material world and have a pastime. And takes with him some of his eternal associates and picks up the devotees that are waiting here in the material world. But those pastimes are going on in different ways and unlimited other pastimes which cannot be fit in a small book in the spiritual world. So the ultimate purpose of life is for us to develop our original relationship with the Supreme Lord and go back to the spiritual sky. This is actually the purpose. This spiritual world is mentioned, it's referred to. But like when the followers of Lord Jesus asked him, could you explain to us about the kingdom of our Father in heaven? He said, I would like to tell you, I could tell you so many things, but you couldn't be able to understand. You can't even understand what I'm telling you about this world. How are you going to understand about the world that lies beyond this world? So in different circumstances, sometimes the great preachers come down, but the people may not be so ready to understand about the spiritual world. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had taken these teachings of Krishna and he had said that these should be told to everyone. If they accept, that's their good fortune. Then they can know this information about all the planets in the material world and the planets that lie beyond this whole material creation in the spiritual world. So it's a great science of cosmology, the science of self-realization. It's a perfection of religion because it gives realization of God and realization of the self by perception, not simply by theory. So to achieve that, of course, it begins very easily. We can become a devotee of Krishna, or we can become advanced in this process of yoga very easily by chanting this mantra of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting the mantra, we can feel the presence of Krishna. We can feel the transcendental energy coming from the mantra. So we invite everyone to practice chanting. You can chant in your home. You can chant anywhere. You can come in together with us every Sunday or any day and chant with us in the temple. We thank you for coming here and chanting with us tonight. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Are there any questions? It was taller than it is now. And why is it only like... sunk in the ground. In Kali Yuga it shrinks in. And by the end of Kali Yuga it's going to be completely covered up by the ground and you won't see it anymore. Before the end of Kali Yuga. Now on the sides of Govardhan it's only about 40 feet high. And in the center it's a couple, maybe 200-300 feet high. But before it was much higher. It's about 21 kilometers by 6, 7, 8 kilometers wide. But height, I don't know, the highest point, maybe 300-400 feet in the middle. We never go on the Govardhan. You can only see on one side it's about 200 feet. On the other side you can see it's about 25-30 feet. But in the middle it's higher. But it used to be much higher, maybe over 1,000 feet or so high. But it's sinking into the earth. It's not different from Krishna. So later, when as the people become more irreligious, it will gradually sink in and cover it. So now you can still go and see Govardhan. We have tours to Krishna's land in Vrindavan and Mayapur. And we take the devotees to Govardhan, the place of Krishna's pastimes. And we have a temple in Vrindavan called the Krishna Balaram Temple. and devotees are welcome to go and stay there. If anyone is in the month of March, we have an annual pilgrimage to India, and various devotees go there at that time. And we visit especially these two holy places, and sometimes we also visit our temple in Delhi, Bombay, other Jagannath Puri and other places, depending on but the itinerary. But especially these two temples, the holy land of Krishna in Vrindavan and the land of Krishna, Chaitanya in Mayapur, are featured on this pilgrimage. If someone wants to join the pilgrimage, you're welcome. You can discuss with Balabhadra. That is in the month of March. Is there going to be a... We're going to have a 5-minute pre-initiation ceremony for some of the members of our community that live in their homes and chant Hare Krishna. We'd like to request at that, while we're doing this little ceremony, if the devotees who are in the front, between that door and this front here, would kindly relocate themselves to this side over here so that the dramatic players will be able to come out.
Hare Krishna, if anyone has to leave early, if you'd like to take prasadam before you go, you can go down to the basement. We're serving prasad there for those who have to leave early. Just through this door here, the pink door. Antadri wants to mention that last night the devotees were featured on 11 Alive News for the Rath Yatra ceremony. Hari Bol!
Hare Krishna. The pre-initiation giving out tonight is Krishna Sevak. Is for those who are chanting more than 4 rounds. Some may be chanting 4, 8, or 16, but at least more than 4. Whatever number of rounds they're chanting, they shouldn't decrease. The principle of chanting Hare Krishna, we try to chant a number of times every day as a minimum. If we chant more, that's all right, but not less. This helps to build up spiritual force. And those who are taking the pre-initiation are also vegetarians. And they're going to be preparing to become, to perform more of the devotional activities of bhakti yoga. That's correct? You also were. What happened to the other Steve? This is everyone? Jai C.C. Radha Madan Mahan! Jai Gaur! Jagannath Subhadra Baladi! Please repeat. Om Agyana Timarindasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshush Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. They shouldn't, what are they closing the curtains for? They shouldn't start changing the deities. After Govardhan Puja, we're going to do offering of arti to the deities. Om apavitro pavitro va sarva vastang gato vidya smarit punarik aksham sa bhaiya. In your hand, say Sri Vishnu and drink it. Take the water and throw it behind you. Just wash your hand. No, just like underhand it. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaura Vani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Twishe Namo Nama Namo Bhavanya Deva Go Bhavana Hitaya Cha Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the four questions, if you accept, then you'll hold your hand and say Hare Krishna. First, that if you believe, accept that Lord Shri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that He has appeared in the age of Kali as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful avatar, then say Hare Krishna. And if you believe that pure devotional service to Lord Krishna is the perfection of human life, and it is your desire to eventually achieve pure devotional service, then say Hare Krishna. And if you want spiritual guidance in order to achieve this pure devotional service from me and accept me as your instructing spiritual master, then say, or Shiksha Guru, then say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And if you desire to gradually increase your devotional service, the standard of your devotional service and purity, and to eventually take full shelter of Krishna, and to accept Harinam initiation for this purpose, if you want me to give an Ashirvad, then say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
These are ashes from our fire sacrifice in Mayapur, that fire that never goes out. Is it Steve, right? So Krishna Sevak Steve.
Haribo! Haribo!
Alexander, right? Krishna Sevak Alexander.
Haribo!
Krishna Sevak Tad.
Haribo!
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare
Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Hare Hare.
Om Tat Sat.